Begin the current daf, Masech the Shabbos, daf Mem Beis. Begin on the top line of the Amud, and it's a continuation from the previous daf, where the Gemara brought in the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel and how to interpret our Mishnah. The Mishnah spoke about when one removes all the hot water from a hot water kettle and then pours in cold water. So therefore, the Mishnah said that to pour in a little bit would be a problem, because then you're going to be cooking the water, versus if you put in a lot of water, that's okay, because it's just going to get lukewarm, and it's not going to be over the issa derayis of Bishul, it's not going to be cooking anything. However, there was machlokes from Rav and Shmuel how to interpret based on how much water you can fill in. And according to Rav, you can fill in a lot, but not all the way to the top. Because if you do it all the way to the top, inevitably, that will go ahead and be mitzaref. It'll, so to speak, strengthen the metal keli. Because anytime you have a metal keli, it gets hot. And then you empty it out and you put in something cold, it strengthens. And that's like, so to speak, the malacha of makabe patish that's finishing off the utensil. Versus Shmuel held that it's permitted to fill it up all the way to the top. And the reason why he said, because he goes like Reb Shimon that holds that Dabash Ein Meskab, and something that's not intended is mutter. And therefore, although inevitably what he's doing is not going to be in the Bechina of Psik Reish Lo Nichle, which some will discuss and elsewhere, that it's not something that's going to happen inevitably, but since it's not something that he's intending to do, it's a Dabash Ein Meskab, so therefore it's mutter in spite of the fact that he's filling it all up all the way to the top. So therefore the Gemara begins at that discussion. And says, "Lemember the Shmuel Krib Shimon Svirle." Is that what it's saying, that Shmuel holds like Krib Shimon, as we're saying that he holds that a Dovish Ein Miskaven is going to be mutter, that although it's going to happen possibly, that's going to strengthen the keli, since he's not intending to do that, all he's intending to do is, so to speak, to warm up that lot of cold water that he's adding to the hot water kettle, therefore it's going to be mutter. So therefore it seems that he has the understanding of the fundamental principles between the Machlokes Reb Shimon and Yehuda that's throughout the Melachas of Shabbos, that it doesn't have to have, that it has to have a very specific kavana, intent, and goals towards the Melacha, and if it's lacking any of that, it's not considered a Melacha. Then the Gemara asks, V'amar Shmuel, but Shmuel says, Mechaben gachil shel matzchas b'shusra. Person allowed to extinguish a burning piece of metal in the public area, b'shvil shel yizuka b'ram, so that the public shouldn't be harmed, because they have something very dangerous over here, a burning piece of metal. He's allowed to go ahead and extinguish it. And the reason is because really the Melacha, the rice of kibub extinguishing, doesn't apply midrais on metal, because metal is not something that gets burnt. It doesn't get, so to speak, disintegrated as a piece of wood would. It just gets glowing, and it's just midrabanan that they said that it's aser also. Therefore, in such a case where there's a possibility of harm for the public, they weren't geyser on the shvus. They didn't institute this isidrabanan of saying that the malach of extinguishing would apply to metal because of the harm to the public. However, Shmuel said, but they did not allow someone to extinguish a piece of wood that was burning, because that's Issa Deraisa. It's a regular thing that's burning. To put it out would be the Melacha Deraisa of extinguishing, and therefore you'd be Chayav Skila for the harm of the public. At least it's not an imminent danger to one's safety, to one's life. We don't allow them, a person that sees it, to put out the piece of wood. Now the Gemara develops the question. If you hold that in principle, the way Shmuel learns in the Hilchas of Shabbos by the Melachas, like Reb Shimon, then even if it was a piece of burning wood, he also should allow the person to extinguish it. And the reason is because, according to Reb Shimon, this is a case of malacha she'in tzricha legufa, which a person is potter. Malacha she'in tzricha legufa means that it's a labor that's not necessary for the intended purpose. And that is, every extinguishing is really in the category of ein tzricha legufa that would not be the malacha deraisa, besides a few exceptions, like, for example, someone that's making coals, that is extinguishing it, so to speak, he lights it to extinguish it so that now it becomes a good coal to be used, or similarly regarding someone that wants to make a wick. So he has to light it, and then the extinguishing is what makes it into a good wick, then next time it will light well. However, this case where he's extinguishing this piece of wood, it's not something that's necessary. The extinguishing, it's not to make something better for this piece. It's just to take away the danger and harm to the public. So therefore, that's really in the category of melacha shein tzricha legufa. That's not, the labor's not for the intended purpose of what kibui is supposed to do, what extinguishing is for the object. And therefore, all it is a melacha derabanan. And if it's a melacha derabanan, it should be just like the case of the metal, where it's only a rabbinic injunction. And therefore, we said in the place of harm to the public, it's mutter. So therefore, why does Shmuel say that a piece of wood is usr? To which the Gemara responds, "Bedavish ein miskaven," regarding something that was an unintended malacha, sovel a krib shimon. That in that area he holds a krib shimon, and that was like as the Gemara's case was on the previous daf regarding this case of being mitzaref de mechem, strengthening the kettle that was emptied out of the water. There he holds a krib shimon that if someone does something that's unintended, although it might happen, that a person will be put and won't be considered malacha deraisa. However, b'malacha shein tzricha legufa, regarding a labor that was not being done for its defined purpose, there's some of the Kibbutz, there he holds the Kibbutz, and that's the case over here regarding a gecheles, a coal a burning piece of wood, there he'll hold like Rabbi Yehuda. So there was not a contradiction, although he holds like Rabbi Shimon in one element of the halachas, of the kavanas, of the, so to speak, the structure of the melachas of Shabbos, that it has to be a davish miskaven that you're intending to do, not something that will happen as a side effect, like dragging a bench on the ground that'll, although he's just pulling it to get it, it might dig a ditch and it'll be the melachah d'oraisa of the chayrish, that Rabbi Shimon, and he holds like that it won't be chayv. Versus regarding this other element of Hilchos Shabbos, regarding melachah shein zich legufa, there it is more similar, according to Shmuel, to being melachah d'oraisa, and therefore there he hold a person would be chayv, and therefore the case of the gechel l'shaleitz, that extinguishing will be considered the melachah d'oraisa of kibbutz, and that's why he doesn't allow it, even though it's b'makom hezekah d'rab. However, what we see from this discussion, Amar Ravina says, Hilchos, therefore, that since we said that we weren't geizer shvus of the Isur D'Rabbanan regarding the case of a piece of burning metal that's in the street because of the possible harm to the public, so therefore, la halacha, we could say, koitz b'shus rabim, if there's a thorn in Rishus Rabim, melichi pachis metal rabim, you're allowed to transport it by carrying it less than 4 amas at a time. And that is until it goes to an area on the side where it's not going to harm the people. Because carrying in Rishus Rabim less than 4 amas at a time is only Isur D'Rabbanan. The Issa Dereis is when you carry at least 4 amas at a time. And Ube Karmelis, and regarding a Karmelis, where its carrying is only Midraban in the first place, because when they write it, there's no Issa of transporting something in the Karmelis, which is an area between the Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah, and it's an Issa Draban. And there are Filatuba, they even more than 4 amas at a time one can transport it, because we did not implement the Isur Drabanan when it comes to the possible harm of the public. And therefore, in the Karmelis, you could carry it even more than 4 amas at a time. Now the Gemara returns to the Mishnah that said, Abel Noisin, that regarding this tea kettle that was emptied out from hot water, that a lot of water could be added, a little cannot, because then it's going to heat up that little water, and that's going to be considered bishul. However, you could put in a lot of water, because now it's just going to, so to speak, get a little bit warm, and there won't be Isra of bishul. So the Gemara brings a related discussion. Turn we learn the Braisa. Noisin Odom Chamla Techatzayin. The person is allowed to put hot water into cold water, and that is because of the concept of what's known as tato gavra, that the one on the bottom is the one that is the stronger one that overpowers. And therefore, the hot water that's being poured into the cold will not make the bottom that's on the bottom that's cold to boil. Rather, it'll just make it like lukewarm. Therefore, there's no problem with bishul. However, v'loy hatzayin l'toy chachamet, but you're not allowed to pour cold water into hot water, again, because the bottom one, the lower one, is the strong one, which is the hot water. That will make the upper waters, which are being poured into cold ones, bubble, as we said, because of tato gavra, divi bisham, this is the opinion of bisham. Whether you're pouring hot water into cold water, or whether you're pouring cold into hot, mutter, either way it's permitted. However, when was this said that it's mutter either way? That was told by a cup, which is for drinking purposes. And there's two reasons why it's not going to be a problem. One reason is because you don't want it to get too hot when you're drinking something, therefore you're not going to make it bubble. Another reason is because a cup is generally a klisheni, it's a second vessel, so even if the water on the bottom is hot, but it was not directly on the fire, and therefore, since it's a cliche, and the cliche is not mavash, it's not going to cook, since it's a secondary vessel, like you took from the tea kettle, poured into the cup, it's already weakened, and therefore, it's not going to cook the cold water that's coming from the top. However, Avopumvati, regarding a bathtub, there Beis Hillel would agree that chamla techatzayin, that you're allowed to pour in the hot into the cold, as we said, because the bottom that's cold is the stronger one. However, loitzayin l'techam, but you cannot pour the cold into the hot, again, because the bottom one is the strong one, that the hot is going to heat up the cold water that's being poured in. And it also doesn't have the two theories that were said regarding a cup, that is, since this is a kli rishon, and also it's because a bathtub gets very hot, and you want it hot, because that's how the bathtub is, not something like you're drinking. And therefore, for those reasons, we're going to say that regarding a bathtub, there would be a problem of pouring in cold into hot. However, Reb Shimon ben Nasya oyser. Reb Shimon ben Nasya says it's usur even by pouring the hot into the cold. That is, even though the bottom is cold, and there everybody agreed that we're allowed to pour the hot into the cold, on that Reb Shimon ben Nasya says even that is going to be usur. So on that, the Gemara says, Reb Nachman, that it's a problem either way, either even pouring in cold into hot, as others had said, and even pouring the hot into the cold is also going to be a problem of bishul. So the Gemara says, "As Rabbi Yosef lemeimer safal harei kamvati." The Rabbi Yosef thought to say that a wash basin would be the same as a bathtub, and that is, we have here two different arenas. We have, so to speak, a cup, where there's no problem according to Beis Hillel either way, pouring hot into cold or cold into hot, because it's a cup. It's a klisheni. It's not, and you don't want it so hot, so you're never gonna have a problem with bishul. A bathtub is the other extreme. That a bathtub is something that you want it hot, and it's sometimes heated inside over there, and therefore it's going to be a problem when you're pouring cold into the hot. But not hot into the cold. But Reb Shimon ben Nasi says even putting the hot into the cold is going to be a problem in the bathtub. However, Rabbi Yosef thought to say that a wash basin, whoever you hold like, is going to be like a bathtub. And that is, in spite of the fact that it's a kli sheni, the wash basin. It's not something that heat on the fire. So therefore, you don't have the second reason we said why it's mutter by a cup. And that is, since it's not being used for drinking, it's only being used for bathing, it's going to be usr because you want it to be very hot. And therefore, we're going to make a gzera that it's you might come to cook. So therefore, although it's not like a cup in the sense that it's a cliche. It is the same like a cup that it's a cliche, but it will be more chamer. It'll be like the bathtub because since it has the element of that you want it to be very hot because you use it for bathing purposes. So Abaya said to him, Tanur Abchiya Safal Enikam Avati. Abchiya said that no, a wash basin is not like a bathtub, and therefore it won't have the issues that a bathtub has, and therefore it will be mutter, let's say according to Beis Hillel, either way, hot into cold or cold into the hot. Because again, it doesn't have the element of a kli rishon, it's a kli sheni. However, the Gemara goes back to understand what Rav Yosef thought. Well, my disolika daita mikra, this that Rav Yosef thought initially, the safal harei kamvati, that he wanted to give the same halachic status to a wash basin as a bathtub. And also, there's another element, that v'amr Rav Nachman, the halachic Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, that Rav Nachman has said that the halachic like Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, that he said it's prohibited even to pour hot into cold. Therefore, so that's by regarding a bathtub. And now he's saying that a wash basin, according to the way Rabbi Yosef had a thought, is just like a bathtub. So therefore, so that how is it ever possible to have that a person can be able to wash himself with hot water on Shabbos? And that is, according to Rabbi Shimon, that where he says that even pouring hot into cold is asur. It's not possible to have any hot water on Shabbos, even that was heated up from before Shabbos, that you don't need to, so to speak, chill it out a little bit, like cool it down a little bit because it's too hot. And therefore, you can never wash what's even mutter on Shabbos, which is your hands, your face, and your feet with hot water, because you're never going to have a way to cool down the hot water. Because he was saying that the safal, the wash basin, which is what we use to, so to speak, sponge down, it has the same halacha like a bathtub. And a bathtub, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, you can't pour hot into cold or cold into hot. So therefore, how are you ever going to be able to cool down the hot water? That, the Gemara says, a whole different understanding of Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh's opinion. Do you think Rabbi Shimon was going on the Seifa as we had originally interpreted? That is, that the Tanna Kamma, which was Beis Hillel, only allowed the hot water into cold. However, cold into hot, he said that's obviously asur. Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh was coming to say, it sounded like, that it's even prohibited even to pour hot into cold. And therefore, we have this whole problem. There's no way you can pour it hot into cold or cold into hot. And if a wash basin is just like a bathtub, so you have no way of cooling down the hot water. That's not what he was saying. When he said asar, a ratio code, he was going back on the ratio, which was regarding drinking, which is that Beis Hillel said that one is allowed to pour even cold into hot, because it's a cup, and we said two theories why a cup is not a problem, even though the bottom is hot, and usually the bottom, which one is hot, is the one that's stronger. On that, Rav Shimon ben Manasseh was saying that's asar, as the Gemara says, the Beis Hillel said permitted whether you're pouring hot into cold, or even cold into hot, it's not a problem by a cup. And the whole issa that we had of Tatar Gavra, that the bottom one is stronger, if the bottom one's hot, it's a problem, that was only by a bathtub, by a mvati. On that, Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, Isser Tzayin Lutei Chamen. On that, Rav Shimon ben Manasseh says, no, there's no difference. If the bottom one is hot, even by a cup, you're not allowed to pour cold water into hot water that's on the bottom of a cup. And therefore, it's no problem. We never had a statement to say that a bathtub, that you're not allowed to pour, if the bottom one is cold, to pour hot into that. Even Rav Shimon ben Manasseh agrees to that. And therefore, the wash basin, which we thought was like a bathtub, would be no problem. Because now you're allowed to go ahead and, so to speak, take out the hot water that you want to chill out and pour it into cold. And the cold will be stronger, and therefore, it won't be a problem. So on that, the Gemara says, if that was the interpretation of Shimon ben Manasseh, Lamer Rav Shimon ben Manasseh de Amar Kebe Shammai? So what are you going to say? That now Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, you're interpreting it regarding the machlekes Beis Shammai still had regarding the drinking, that he says it's prohibited to pour the cold into the hot, which is like Beis Shammai said. The Beis Shammai said, yeah, you're allowed to pour hot into cold, but you can't pour cold into hot, even by a cup. And Beis Shammai said, no, both are mutter. The way we're interpreting it now, Rav Shimon ben Manasseh says Beis Shammai, we don't usually like, so to speak, that he says like Beis Shammai, because we don't pass like Beis Shammai. I think Moses says, hachakam, now this is what Rav Shimon ben Manasseh was saying. He was arguing on the Tanna Kamma, who was quoting this machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel regarding what you're allowed to do by a cup and not. On that, Rav Shimon ben Manasseh says, no, even Beis Hillel agreed, there is no machlokes. Everybody agrees that you're not allowed to pour even by a cup to pour cold into hot, because the bottom one will always be the stronger one, and it's a concern even by a cup that you might come to do bishul. So the Gemara says, Chazina le Rava do le cup amana. I saw, if you want to know the halacha, I saw Rava that he wasn't meticulous, wasn't careful about a cup, and that he didn't care if he was pouring hot into cold or cold into hot, which is, as we said, that interpretation of Basil, that it doesn't make a difference whether you're pouring hot into cold or cold into hot by a cup. We have two theories why it's not a problem. It's a cliche in the end, so you don't want it so hot. So therefore, you're never going to come to Bishul. And what was his proof of this? When the Tanya Reb Chiya, Noisin Odom Kitun Shalmayim L'Tech Safa Shalmayim. Reb Chiya said that one's allowed to put a flask of water into a wash basin of water, and that is Bein Cham L'Tech Tzayin, whether you're pouring the hot into the cold, or Bein Tzayin L'Tech Cham, whether the cold into the hot. And therefore, you see, that doesn't make a difference, hot into cold, cold into hot. It's when we're talking about things like a wash basin or like a cup, which are not like a bathtub, they were not so concerned, it's not going to be so hot, it's a cliche, and therefore, we're not going to come to a situation of cooking. Amalei Rav Huna Rav Ashi, but Rav Huna said to Rav Ashi, maybe it's not a proof of that halacha Rav Chiya. Dil mashani hasim de mifsa kli. There it's different because there's a vessel that separates between the hot and the cold water, because we're talking about putting in a flask. And now the flask has it's a vessel that's separating between the waters. Maybe there it's not going to penetrate so much, and therefore it's going to be mutter. But maybe when we're talking about pouring one liquid into the other, then maybe it is a problem. Amalei ma'ari itmai says, no, the version how you have to read the halacha Rav Chiya, it was talking about pouring. And it was as follows. Ma'ara adam kidim shamayim utech safa shamayim, that a person allowed to pour a flask of water into a wash basin of water. And that is, as we said, according to Basil, bein cham utech tzayin, whether hot into cold, bein tzayin utech chaman, or whether cold and hot. And that says what Rabbi's minig was, that he did like Basil, that it didn't make a difference either way which one you were doing, because again, we're talking about a cliche, we're talking about you don't want it so hot anyway, and therefore it's going to be mutter by a cup, whether the bottom is hot or whether it's cold. So now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again talking about the theme of this parak, the Mishnayis, which talks about the halachas of Bishul. And the Mishnah begins, Ha'ilpas, a frying pan, the Hagadera in a pot, Shehavirin Mursachan, that were removed from the fire when it was still boiling, and this was right before Shabbos. So the halacha is, Lo yitin l'teichan tavan, a person is not allowed to add spices into this frying pan or into this pot, after it already became dark, when the Shabbos. Because a kli rishon, that is the first vessel, which is the vessel that was on the fire, as long as it's boiling, it's still going to cook. Although it's not on the fire, it's still a kli rishon. It is the vessel that was on the fire. And therefore, although it was removed from the fire, it's still boiling. It was just recently taken off. You know, add spices because it's going to cook it. Continue on to Amud Beis. Avol noisn hu l'teicha ka'ara o l'teicha tamchon. But it is allowed to put the spices either into a bowl or into a tureen, because these things are a klisheni, they're a secondary vessel, they're not things that are put on the fire. It's from the pot that was on the fire or the frying pan that they put into this bowl or into this tureen. And the tureen is some type of a large plate where they pour from the frying pan into it, and from there, from the tamchoy, they pour into the karas, into the different bowls, and the serving. So therefore, once it's already entered the klisheni, there's not a problem, you're allowed to put spices into that. On that, Rabbi Huda Omer, Rabbi Huda says, l'chol hu naisen, that spices are allowed to be put into anything. And the Gemara is going to explain which one is he going back. Is he going back on the Kli Rishon, on that even by Kli Rishon you're allowed to put spices in Alek Tanakama? Or is he talking about a Kli Sheni and that he agrees to the Tanakama that in essence you're allowed to add spices only to Kli Sheni, but that he was Machmer, as the Mishnah says, Chutz Midavish Ish Bechomitz Vetzir, except for something that has inside of it vinegar or fish brine, where there, because of its acidic properties, it's going to cook the spices. So the Gemara is going to explain right now. Ibar Elu, they had the following question. Rabbi Huda, a reisha koi ulakulo, a dilma seifa koi luchurma. Was Rabbi Huda going on the reisha, on the first part of the statement of the Tanakam, and he was going for a more lenient opinion? That is, he was going on the case of the ilpis, for example, the frying pan, which the Tanakam says it's also because it's a kli rishon, but just taking off the fire, it's still hot, you can't put in spices. On that, Rabbi Huda says that no, for even old frying pans, you're allowed to put in spices. And the reason is because a kli rishon is not mevashel. Once it was, when you're putting in spices, a kli rishon will not cook the spices, and therefore it's not a problem. Maybe he was going back on the seifa, and he was going luchurma, and that is, he was going on the case of the ka'or and the tamcha, on the bowl and the tureen. That the Tanakhama says that it's mutter. And that Rabbi Yudah says that no, I agree with you regarding all bowls and tureens, that it's going to be permitted to put in the spices. However, I am more machmer that regarding something that has in it vinegar or has in it this fish brine, that there, even by cliche, even though it's a secondary vessel, there the spices are going to get cooked. And therefore, we have almost two opposite type of versions. When Rabbi Huda was saying that for everything you could spices in, besides vinegar, that somebody has vinegar or fish brine, was he, so to speak, saying that spices, they don't get cooked even by a kli rishon. And therefore, it's going to be mutter. Besides, if something is so acidic, like fish brine or vinegar, then it's going to be a problem. But even though it was just taken off the raya, it's permitted. And therefore, he's much more lenient than Tana Kama. Or was he even more machmel like Tana Kama? And he says that I agree to you regarding Sekli Sheni, that it's going to be mutter. And I agree, obviously, by Kli Rishon it's usser. However, there are cases by Kli Sheni that even Kli Sheni would be a problem. For example, if it has vinegar or if it has this fish brine where it's acidic, that's going to cook it, even though it's in a Kli Sheni. And that's the Gemara says, Tashma. The Tanya has alert Nebraisa. That for even for the frying pans you could put spices and even in the hot pots that you just took off the fire, a lot of put in spices, because again it's not going to get cooked, even though as long as it's not on the fire itself, the spices will not get fully cooked in the frying pan or the pot that was taken off the fire. Except for something that's so acidic that has vinegar or fish brine, then it's going to be usr. And that's the version that said that he was going lekula. He was more lenient that even by kli rishon that it was taken off the fire, you're allowed to put in spice. It's not going to get cooked. So the Gemara says a survey of Yosef Lameima that Rav Yosef thought to say in the understanding of the sheet of the Tana Kama that says that spices are usr in the kli rishon, even though it's not on the fire anymore, but it was just taken off. It's still hot, but it's mutter in the kli sheni. That melech harei kutavon. That Rav Yosef thought to say that salt is the same as spices. That is, it gets cooked in the Kli Rishon, but it won't get cooked in the Kli Sheni. As the Gemara said, the Kli Rishon Bishlo, Ube Kli Sheni Le Bishlo, that in the Kli Rishon it would get cooked in the second, well, a secondary vessel when it was poured into something else. Now you put the spice in, that won't get cooked. So Amalei Abaya, but Tani Reb Chia, Melech Enik Etavlo. Reb Chia says that salt is not like spices. And how is it different? The Kli Sheni Nami Bashlo, because salt is so amenable to being cooked, that even in the Kli Sheni it will get cooked. Versus spices that, although it will get cooked in the Kli Rishon, it won't get cooked in the Kli Sheni. To which the Gemara says, a plug to Rav Nachman, that argues on Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman, tzricha milcha bishula kibis de tu. Rav Nachman holds almost the exact opposite of Rav Chia, that he holds that salt needs to be cooked like the meat of an ox. And that is, even by a Kli Rishon, as long as it's not on the fire, won't get cooked. That the meat of an ox is so tough that the only way it could get cooked is in a hot pot that's on the fire. The second you take it off the fire, although it's hot and other things would get cooked, the meat of an ox won't. And salt is the same thing. Salt is so hard to cook that it only will be that if it's on the fire, then it's going to get cooked. And that's the exact opposite of Rechia, who said that, no, it's so easy to cook that even by Kli Sheni, it's going to get cooked. The Gemara says, V'ikad, I mean, some say a different version of this discussion, which is basically how Rechia's statement plays out in this. Some Rav Yosef Lameima, Melech Harei Ketam. Rav Yosef thought to say that salt is like spices. That is, the Bekli Rishon Bishla. In a Kli Rishon, in the first vessel that was originally on the fire, there would get cooked, although it's even off the fire now. Bekli Rishon Yalei Bishla, but in the secondary vessel, won't get cooked. Amal Abaya. Abaya said to him, Tan Rav Chia, Melech Ene Ketavon. That Rav Chia said salt is not like spices, but exact opposite of the first version. That on this version, Rav Chia says, the Bekli Rishon Nami Bishla. That even in the first vessel, it still won't get cooked. And that it would be permitted to put salt in, even the Kli Rishon, as long as it was taken off the fire. And that the Gemara says, behind the Dom Rav Nachman, that's exactly as Rav Nachman said, that tzricha milcha bishula kibis de tur, that salt needs to be cooked as much as the meat of an ox. Again, that salt is so hard to cook that it has to be only on the fire, but even if it's in the Kli Rishon, if it's off the fire, it's not going to get cooked. And again, these are two different versions in what Rav Chia said in this, how it plays out with what Rav Yosef thought to say, and how Rav Nachman holds regarding the cooking of salt. Now the Gemara continues to the next Mishnah, which begins a whole new discussion for the second half of this parak. It ends the discussion of Bishul, of cooking on Shabbos, and now begins the discussion about Mokta. So the Mishnah begins. One is not allowed to put a vessel under a lamp to catch the oil that's dripping. And that is because the oil is mukta for many different reasons, because of Isser, because it's designated just for lighting. And therefore, there are two different explanations given in the Gemara why it would be a problem to put a vessel to catch the dripping oil. One reason the Gemara gives is because the sheet of the Mishnah holds that you now take a vessel that can be used on Shabbos only for something that's usable. Versus over here, where you're using it for something that's not usable because the oil is mukta, you're not allowed to use an available vessel for that purpose. It has to be something for letzarech davar hanita. Another explanation the Gemara gives is that you're not allowed to do what's called levatla kli mechane, to abolish a vessel from what it's prepared to do. And that is, you're allowed to use this vessel and move it around and come and go. But now, once you go ahead and use it to catch the oil that's dripping down, you're, so to speak, setting it in a place, almost like you're attaching it with cement. And it's similar to like doing a malach, almost like baina. And that is because this vessel, once the oil that's mukta falls in it, now you can't move it anymore because now it's a base to the mukta, and it's going to be considered like you're moving the mukta. So for two different reasons, we says that you're not allowed to go ahead and move the vessel to catch the oil again, either because you can only use a permitted usage of a vessel for something else that's permitted versus the oil that's not permitted, you can't use the vessel for that. Another explanation given by the Gemara is because once you go ahead and it does catch, it's going to be mevatel the kli mechana. You won't be able to use the vessel anymore, and that's prohibited to do on Shabbos. However, the Mishnah says, but if you already had placed the vessel there to catch the oil from before Shabbos, almost like if you put the submissive to catch the water dripping out of the air conditioner, if you did it before Shabbos, then that won't be a problem. However, you're not allowed to benefit from that because the oil was not prepared, it's considered mukta, and therefore, you're not allowed to go ahead and have another thing. You can leave it there, but you're not allowed to go ahead and have another from that. So now the Gemara brings a halacha that will be related to the discussion of our Mishnah. Amar Rav Chisda. Although we said you're not allowed to put a vessel under a chicken that to catch the egg that it's laying, and that is, if let's say it's laying the egg in an area where it's sloping, and maybe it's going to roll down, it's going to break. However, if we infer from the Mishnah that it's very similar to the case of putting a vessel under the lamp to catch the oil, which is prohibited, here also we say that you're not allowed to go ahead, and the egg which was born on Shabbos is prohibited, also has halacha of noilut of muktzah, that you're not allowed to go ahead and put the vessel to catch it, because again, for either one of the two reasons, that it's prohibited to use the vessel for that. Avol kaifa la kli shleita shava. However, because it says, but you are allowed to go ahead and take the vessel and cover over the egg on top of it with this vessel so that it shouldn't break. And that is, we don't say that a vessel cannot be used and moved only for something that is permitted to be used, and the egg here is not permitted to be used and moved on Shabbos. In spite of that, we are allowed to take the vessel and cover it, and so to speak, move this vessel for something that's not moved and used on Shabbos. So Amar Rabba, my time is Rav Chisda. What's the understanding of Rav Chisda's opinion? So the reason is because Ksavr Tan Negoilis Asuy Lahatl Beit Sasa B'Ashba. He held that the way it is that's common that a chicken will lay an egg in the garbage dump. And therefore, we have to be concerned that maybe people are going to break it when they're walking over there. So there'd be a lot of cover it with a vessel. However, but it's not so common for an egg to lay an egg in a place where it's sloping. And therefore, that a commonplace prevention, that they permitted someone to do that. And that is, they didn't say that it's prohibited, although it's being used for something that's so to speak, mukta, that for something that's not used. You're allowed to take the vessel and go ahead and cover it by the ashba, by the place of where the garbage is, because that's something that's common to happen. So therefore, they didn't institute this issur, so to speak, of using a vessel that's permitted for something that's not permitted. In the place where it's common, they didn't institute that to be able to protect the eggs. However, but regarding a prevention to save something that's not so common, that they did not permit. And therefore, by the case of the slope and the case of our Mishnah with the oil dripping, there they said that it's not permitted to go ahead and, so to speak, save the egg because of this issur that the way Rav Chisda holds is that you're not allowed to go ahead and use a vessel. Only you can only use it for something that it's necessary. However, in a case of where it's a common saving, that it's a prevention that happens often, so therefore there they, so to speak, set aside, made an exception to the halacha that you're not allowed to use a vessel for something that's only used for, and that's why they said that then, therefore, let's say in the garbage dump, you're allowed to go ahead and take the vessel and cover over the egg, again, although it's for something that's generally prohibited, but by hatzalah mitzvah, something that's common to happen, which is that the eggs that will be laid over there, and people will be coming, so it's dangerous, and therefore they allowed this exception to be able to be done in those cases. And that the Gemara asks many different questions that Abaye poses on this explanation of that Rabbi gave for what Rav Chisda's opinion is. Esvei Abaye. So you're telling me that we only permitted, so to speak, to cover over the egg, to be using this permitted vessel for something that's not permitted to be used and moved on Shabbos, which is generally prohibited. But you told me that when it's something that's a common occurrence, that we have to save something like these eggs that shouldn't be trampled by people, that then we're allowed to. But if it's not so common, let's say by a slope, or like the case of a Mishnah where the oil is dripping, then it's prohibited. But Vatan, we learned the Brisa, not like that. We learned Nishbur loy chavish shel tevel bereish gag. If someone had a barrel of tevel, which was untithed produce, that broke on his roof, maybe kli amanich techtel. Then he could bring a vessel and put it under it, in other words, to be able to catch the things that it shouldn't get ruined. And that's in spite of the fact of these two criteria that even though tevel is something that can't be moved because you can't use the tevel on Shabbos, it can't be eaten anyway, so it's mukta. And also the case of a barrel breaking is not so common, so therefore why are we allowed to use a vessel to go ahead and catch it? The two elements that you say are usr are there. A, that it's something that's being used for something that can't be moved. And also, it doesn't have the exception that you said that because it's a common occurrence, it's not so common for a vessel to break. On that, the Gemara says, we're talking about gulfei chadati. We're talking about new earthenware kegs. And that is the shchichah d'paki. That is that they do frequently burst, since they're new and it's the way it's made. And therefore, it is available for that exception of saying that hatzala mitzuyah, that it's something that's common to happen, where they didn't impose the stringency of, so to speak, of using a vessel that's permitted for something that's not permitted to be moved around in the case of tevel. And that's why you're allowed to put your kli there to save it. Another question that Abaye asked to Rabbi Eisve, he asked, and this is a Mishnah that he asked from all these different Mishnayos and Brises. We learned that a person is allowed to put a vessel under his lamp to catch the sparks, and that is so that these flames, so to speak, that spray forth from the lamp, that it shouldn't burn up whatever's under it. And that's in spite of the fact, again, that nitzaitis, these sparks, cannot be moved. So again, you're moving a vessel that's permitted for something that cannot be permitted to move. And it's also not so common that these sparks should fly out. So therefore, according to you, why is it mutter? It should be aser. And that Rabbi answers, it is also common for sparks to fly out, and therefore it's what's called the Hatzala Mitzuyah. It has that exception, that exemption, regarding that although you have the Isra of moving something that's permitted to be moved, like this vessel, for the sparks which can't be moved, which are Muktzah, however, since it's common to happen, that's why we allow a person to put it in, therefore it's not a question on Rabbi.